We have Lisa Lanier, our official attorney, hanging on. Three really interesting legal cases. Two of them especially to me are very interesting. Lisa, good morning. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. I hope you guys are.
We are. So glad to have you on, as always. In my opinion, two of these stories we're going to cover today are two of the most interesting legal cases we've ever discussed on here. I want to do them in reverse order from the one I think is least interesting to the one I think is just the most riveting. And we'll start with the one that I'm interested in, but you know, it doesn't scream at me. And that is from the Bronx in New York. Apparently, a woman was living in an apartment that does not allow pets, but yet she would have a dog come over most of the day. So the question was, and I believe it was a service animal, but the question was, if you live in an apartment that doesn't allow pets and the dog doesn't stay overnight but comes over for several hours each day, are you breaking your lease? Can you be evicted for that? And the judge says no. Is that right?
Well, it was because of the very particular circumstances of this case. So this lady was sort of dog-sitting for her sister because her sister worked all day and the dog would have to be left alone all day.
Yeah.
And in this particular situation, the landlord was very sloppy in his handling of his side of the case, and he didn't even have a copy of the lease to present the court.
So the
judge basically refused to assume what the language in the lease was about pets. But it is possible for a lease to say no pets on the premises whatsoever. And in that situation, she would have been in violation of the lease. But here, we don't know what the language said.
Because he didn't do it well enough.
Now, forgive me for sounding like a dumb question, but does she need the service animal, or does the service animal belong to a friend?
Because it was not a service animal for the tenant.
Uh-huh.
It would have to be, the tenant would have to be the disabled person with a service animal. And in that situation, the landlord has to go along with the dog and can't charge extra for it.
Okay.
Well, I get that, but let's say Chris Kelly lives in a place that has no pet policy after his wife kicks him out.
Okay. I can't afford anything except a little small, tiny...
one-floor walk-up.
Yeah, okay, got it.
I go blind, and I need a service dog, so I can't visit him?
Well, that's where... a service dog, if you had a legitimate reason for accessing... Mm-hmm. That would be different. But I think in this situation, you know, she was dog sitting. It wasn't even about visiting. It was about dog
sitting.
I think in that situation, I think the landlord could have potentially prohibited that. But no, I think any reasonable access under the ADA would be allowed, but not this kind of dog sitting stuff.
I want to tell you, too, Chris Dim's scenario is very likely to come true, that I will be living in a one-bedroom apartment at some point, and Chris Dim will go blind. The only part about that that's not true is that he would come over and visit. He will never do that.
That's the least likely part.
That's right. The next story I find, again, quite fascinating. It's been all over the news this week. A woman who they're calling the Antichrist. Her name is Jennifer Connell. She lives in New York City. She's 54. 4 years ago at her nephew, at that time an 8-year-old nephew's birthday party, he runs over to her, gives her a hug, knocks her down. She breaks her wrist. And then a couple of years later, she says, I'm going to sue him because it's terrible pain in my wrist. I have trouble walking upstairs. I have trouble when I'm in crowded rooms. I can't hold an hors d'oeuvre tray.
Multiple surgeries.
She sued for $127,000, and she sued the boy, who is now 12, and that's why she got the reputation of being the Antichrist. She lost her lawsuit. Lisa, did she do this only as some sort of it had to be done that way so she could get insurance money? Is that how it worked?
Oh, yeah, that's absolutely right. And unfortunately, this kind of thing happens frequently in our insurance system. Currently, even if you have health insurance, they often refuse to pay. You'll get, like, once your trauma codes from your medical bills hit your insurance company and they see that there's some kind of trauma that could have possibly been caused by any kind of third party, you'll get a questionnaire in the mail. And it'll say, before we pay these bills, you need to tell us how this happened. And if you refuse to answer that questionnaire, they can refuse to pay your bills and under most of these health insurance contracts. And so apparently something like that happened here, and they said to her, you need to go after the family's homeowner's insurance, and then, you know, if they don't pay, then we will pay. And so she had to sue in the name of the boy because in all jurisdictions, you can't sue in the name of the insurance company. You have to sue in the name of the person who committed the act.
Okay. Well, that makes perfect sense to me. But I hate the fact that to me, her health insurance should pay it. You know, this was an accident. He jumped into her arms. She broke her wrist bad enough that she needed $125,000 in surgery. Don't you think that the health insurance ought to just pay that? I mean, come on.
No, yeah, I mean, they absolutely should have. I think these all these subrogation clauses and these, you know, who pays? Is there a third party?
Yeah.
Third party clauses are terrible. Yeah, and it's causing, and there are lots of these. These are sort of friendly lawsuits. The families understand here. You know, the lady, there was a news report showing where she was just out Halloween shopping. The aunt was out buying the kid a Halloween costume, stuff like that. They're a close-knit family.
Yeah.
It's not at all about trying to get money out of the kid or the kid's family. It's just it's an insurance thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were side-by-side on the Today Show yesterday morning, Lisa, and they say, we're cool.
Yeah.
You know, I still love, the boy still loves his Auntie Christ, and she still loves
but
him.
But she'll always be known as the Auntie Christ. From this point forward, she is the Auntie Christ. How hilarious is that? That is so funny. But at the end of the day, because she sued for the homeowner's insurance and lost, will the health insurance pay it off?
Yeah, now you know. Now they should pay as long as she has filed all the proper paperwork with them along the way. The awful thing about it is, and this has gone on now for, 3-4 years?
4 years,
she was 8 years old when it happened.
That's right.
And So there may be other provisions in the health insurance that says now it's too late if she didn't file all the bills with them. And in the meantime, what do you think it's done to her credit? Because the hospital and the doctors didn't have to just sit there and, you know, they've put this on her credit, and it's terrible.
It's ridiculous. Mm. Dave Akin is not here today, so I will speak for him. He hates insurance.
He really does.
That's crap right there, and I'm with him on that. That's ridiculous. This woman's bills should have been paid, you know, in a timely fashion. She shouldn't have to sue her 8-year-old nephew, and she shouldn't be known as the Auntie Christ. I'm coming to her defense today. Mm. Also, but I was the first one to jump on it when I thought she was doing this, you know, just because. I was the first one to nail her.
Because the headline is.
Of course.
It's a grabbing headline.
Stupid. But that was a great story this week. But this one's my favorite. A Navy veteran is suing after what he and his lawyer described as a 16-pound pine cone fell on his head in San Francisco. They say it crushed his skull. He is suing the U.S. government, the National Park Service, the Department of the Interior, and the Maritime National Historic Park in San Francisco for $5 million. He was standing under and relaxing, leaning on a non-native pine tree at the park when the pine cone fell. Again, it's 16 pounds. Did so much damage that he's had two and now maybe a third brain surgery. Says he's never going to be the same again. Now, here's the rub, though, and we got into a little bit of a disagreement on this yesterday. There are signs everywhere. There are signs out saying, be careful, giant pine cones can fall from these trees. The exact sign says, danger, giant seed pod falling from tree. And he stood under the tree. So the question is, Lisa, did the government and the park and all that cover themselves by having the sign up, or is he going to win this lawsuit?
Well, my understanding is that they didn't put up those signs until after he was injured.
Oh, well.
Oh, bombshell.
Oh, well.
Bombshell.
It's over then. He wins then. It's over. Yep.
Apparently, there was no warning. And, you know, I mean, something that is 16 pounds and with the force of gravity from it falling from way up in this tree, I mean, it was quite a blow. And apparently, the guy is permanently brain damaged. I mean, he is. Not a little brain injury, but he has a huge traumatic brain injury.
Yes.
Many surgeries, crushed his skull, all that. And this is because the federal government managed and owned the park where he fell on the tree or where the pod thing fell, he will have what is called a federal tort claim. And I would imagine, in my experience, claims against the federal government where there is negligence, they're pretty good about paying those claims.
Wow.
So,
so he's gonna get
it would end up settling.
Did not see that coming.
We've seen a picture. We're looking at it now of the 16-pound giant seed pod pine cone, and it is really amazing. Until you see it,
you can't conceive of something plus the density of it.
What is the size about? It's the size of like 4 bowling balls.
Yeah,
it is huge, stacked on top of each other.
Huge.
I mean, I feel terrible for the guy. The bombshell here is the signs weren't up until after. I'm sure they put them up now because of this case, and so I think he's going to win too. Very interesting, though. Who would have thought?
You can't use that. You can't use the evidence that they put up the signs. That's called a subsequent remedial measure. You can't use that evidence of the signs against them now to show knowledge or negligence back then. But all he's got to show is that they either knew about these pods falling or should have known about the pods falling, and I'm sure they knew.
Yeah, well, they did. Well, if they didn't, they should have, because it wasn't the first one to fall. Mm-hmm. They put these trees up there. Fantastic, Lisa. You've covered every single case today, and I did not. That thing on the sign is news to me, so I'm glad you brought that up. Thank you very much, as always. That's Lawyer Up. If you need her, she's at LanierLawGroup.com. She is the president there. Anything you do where you need a lawyer, she's the person to contact. She's the best of the best. Lisa, it's great to hear from you. Thank you again.
Have a great weekend.
You too. Thanks. Bye-bye. There she goes.